Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning. And welcome to Asbury. Welcome to those of you who are here in the sanctuary and those of you who are joining us online, either live on Sunday morning or later on at your convenience. We're so thankful that you are here. I'm Hammett Evans. I'm the senior pastor here at Asbury, and we're so thrilled and excited to have you with us. My colleague, Brother Nick Schimmer, will be bringing our word today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and I see many of us wore red to celebrate the birth of the church, and I'm excited to hear Brother Nick share more about that with us later on in the service. I do want to invite you to please register your attendance. If you're joining us online, there's a QR code that you can scan on your screen. If you're here in the sanctuary, there's something new. Everybody gasped. There's something new in your bulletin. And so if you got a bulletin, take it out. And I'll have to go over this again because, you know, we're Asbury and people come in a little bit later too. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see to the right, there's a little tab that says Connect, and that's how you can register your attendance. So let us know which service you're in. If you're a first-time guest, please let us know that, or a new resident. If you're a regular visitor, regular guest, or a member, you can choose your age, put your name and your children's ages and names, and also, if your address has changed recently, as mine did a few months ago, then you can update the church office about that. If you'd like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, there are some options there under Wish to Join as well. And there's also an opportunity for you to let us know if you have a particular interest in knowing more about something about our church family. So please do that. Please complete that. And then all you do is you just tear that off just like that. And then when the offering plate comes by later on in the service, you just put it in the plate. And that way we'll know you were here. Thank you so much. So that's something new. Let's give that a try today. Also, VBS is coming up, and we're still taking registrations for that. You can sign up children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren to attend. You may also sign up to volunteer, and there's some information on the back of your bulletin about that. We will celebrate Holy Communion later on in the service, and we want you to know if you're with us today. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is the Lord's table. It's not our table, and all of God's children are welcome at Christ's table. You don't have to be a member of our church or of any church to join us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. If you're joining us online, we invite you to have grape juice or wine on hand, as well as a little bread for yourself and for those watching with you as you prepare to receive Holy Communion. Also, on Communion Sunday, we take a special offering for community ministries. If you're giving online, there's an option to give to that fund. This fund helps people in our local community who are in need, and we want to encourage you to give to that. I want to make a special appeal. We've been using that a lot, and so if you can give to the Community Ministries Fund today, we want to encourage you to do that. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can give online as well, or there's another offering plate down here when you come to receive communion later on. It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day to celebrate the good news, and let's begin with our prelude.
Thank you.
Please stand for our call to worship as printed in your bulletin or on your screen at home. The Holy One calls our sons and daughters to prophesy. We come ready to hear the word of God. The Holy One calls our young people to see visions. We come ready to see new visions. The Holy One calls our elders to dream dreams. We come ready to dream new dreams. The Spirit of the Holy One is poured upon all flesh. We come ready to be filled with God's Spirit. Please remain standing now for our hymn of praise, Spirit of Faith, Come Down, number 332. Please remain standing for our invocation as printed in the bulletin or on your screen. God of breath and fire, God of past and future, God of all that is and all that ever shall be, when Jesus knew that he was going to the cross, he promised his disciples that they would not be left alone. Jesus assured them that the Holy Spirit would remain with them, teaching them how to live, and reminding them of all he had said. Weeks later, when the day of Pentecost arrived, you poured out your Spirit, giving your disciples the power to speak in many languages and making tongues of flame dance above their heads. Today we ask you that you pour out your Spirit on us, giving us the wisdom and the courage to live in peace as Jesus' followers. Amen. You may be seated.
Please dance one.
Before we move into our offertory, I do want to remind you, if you're joining us in the sanctuary, if you're worshiping in the sanctuary today, be sure and go ahead and complete the Connect tab in your bulletin and have it ready to place an offering plate in just a moment. Today is the day of Pentecost, and it's the day when we celebrate the birth of the church, God's presence alive in the world today. And on Pentecost, we celebrate that God is the source of all of our gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of exhortation, and the gift, of course, of love. Everything that we have and everything that we are is a gift of God's love. And out of our love for God, we respond by giving back to God. By giving our tithes and offerings. If you'd like to give today, we'll pass the plates here in the sanctuary. You may scan the QR code online if you're worshiping with us online, and it will take you to a website that will give you some options for giving there. Let us begin with a word of prayer. God, we do know that all that we have and all that we are is a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And now we pray that you will bless these gifts which we return to you out of our love for you and the hope that you will use them to build your kingdom here at Asbury and Little Rock and far beyond. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said, Amen.
Give us a breath to sing with it on song.
Before our scripture lesson, I want to give you a brief report from our annual conference. We met this week in Hot Springs, and as always, it's kind of like a family reunion. And this was the first fully in-person annual conference since 2019. And so it was really nice to see so many friends and faces. At the same time, it was bittersweet. It was also kind of like there were some people who weren't there because they passed away or because they have become too ill to attend. And it was kind of like going to 3 years worth of funerals in that aspect. But we had a wonderful time. And of course, at the very end, I was very honored to stand with our delegation and be reappointed as your senior pastor, with Brother Nick being reappointed as your associate pastor. Thank you. I told somebody before the service, congratulations to us and condolences to you. So, but anyway, I'm really thrilled to be coming back for another year of ministry here at Asbury. We did do a couple of things that made the news, and so I want to just kind of speak briefly to those. The two major things that were accomplished at annual conference were, one, that we deferred action on one thing that deals with disaffiliation of churches in our annual conference. And the reason that the annual conference decided to do that was because the Council of Bishops have already asked the Judicial Council to rule whether or not that particular paragraph can apply to disaffiliating churches. We didn't want to jump the gun and do something that was unnecessary. And so we do have a plan in place if they do say that that's okay, and we'll be attending a special called annual conference, we're almost certain, later on in the year where we could do that. So that was one. We also did send a letter urging our Arkansas congressional delegates to support and act upon legislation that would reduce, that would be responsible firearm legislation. And so that passed by 75% to 25%. As I recall. So those two things were done. Of course, it was also bittersweet as well, because we know that next year some of my colleagues, my pastor colleagues, and some of our churches will no longer be a part of our annual conference. And so there was a lot of grief around that as well. But I do want to say thank you to Nick and to Audrey Smith and Amy Livers, who are lay delegates, lay members of annual conference, excuse me. And also it was quite a joy to see Ben Cogbill, who was representing Hendricks College. And we had a wonderful time. And thank you so much for continuing to pray for the work of the Arkansas Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And I will just say up front, if I ever ask you to read a scripture reading that has a lot of difficult to pronounce words in it, I just want you to know that I went first. Amen? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these folks are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." I love the way Peter begins his sermon with a joke. Amen?
No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Brother Hammond. Did you get all of that? Good morning. It is a joy to be with you. I want to echo what Brother Hammett said. That is with great joy to be reappointed here at Asbury for a fourth year, hopefully a year that is uninterrupted. But I'm just thankful to be part of the church. I'm thankful to continue to be in service with Brother Hammett. It's been a wonderful year, and for our teenagers, roll up our sleeves. We got a lot of work to do over the next year, but I'm thankful to be with you all. I want to begin our time together this morning by telling you, happy birthday, church. It is Pentecost, and I see some of you in red, and some of you are not in red, so if the lightning strikes come down on the people that are not in red, jump from them very quickly. But it is, I say that in all joking, it's a blessing to be with you, and it's a blessing to be with you on Pentecost Sunday, because it's the day that we consider God's sending of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. Pentecost occurs 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord, and it occurs 10 days after his ascension, when he is installed at the right hand of the Father. And we celebrate this day every year as a way to remember the mighty works that God has done to bring about his church and to give us a moment to pause and take inventory of the workings of the Holy Spirit, both in our life and in the life of our church today. This message this morning is in some ways a continuation of the message I gave 2 weeks ago, where Jesus in Acts chapter 1 gives us what we call the Great Commission. It happens just before his ascension, and he tells the disciples that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when you hear to the ends of the earth, you can put in parentheses to the Gentiles. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to see that moment and this moment of Pentecost together, if we're going to truly understand how God uses the Holy Spirit and how the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And yes, even to help us see how at times we try to reject the workings of the Holy Spirit in our life and in mission. It helps us to understand how God, by pouring out his Spirit on all of us who believe, works to advance his kingdom. Now, one thing we cannot do, and I don't want to do this morning, is to see this moment of Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, in a vacuum, as a singular, isolated event. And it's easy to do that because we tend to stick to this passage pretty exclusively on Pentecost Sunday. And if you haven't been in church for very long, or you haven't spent much time in the Scripture, it would be easy to assume that this is the moment when the Holy Spirit finally shows up. Like a tag team wrestling match. Jesus going up, the Holy Spirit coming down, high-fiving along the way. But we know that that is not entirely true. We know that the Holy Spirit has always been and always will be. In fact, in Genesis 1, verse 2, we hear about the Spirit of God hovering over the water. The Holy Spirit has been active since the beginning, since the creation of the world. We also have record of God pouring out his Spirit in the Old Testament, that old book back then. He poured it out onto the prophets, onto the judges, and perhaps most notably onto Moses. Now, if you're familiar with the Exodus story, you know that in no way would Moses ever be confused for being a great leader by his own abilities. He was not strong. He was not confident. He could barely speak without stuttering. In fact, if you owned a company today and you were looking to hire a CEO, Moses is not the guy that you would hire. But what Moses did have was the gift of the Lord's Spirit upon him to give him the strength and the power to lead the Israelite people out of Egypt. And he does this and does this very well until something occurs. And it gives us a profound understanding of why Pentecost is so important. Moses hits a wall. Now, there may be some of you, or maybe all of you, that at times have become frustrated with the church. Or maybe you have become fed up with the actions of some Christians. And if that's the case, I will tell you, you are in great company. Because Moses reached that point with the Israelite people as well. He was frustrated with the whining, with the complaining, with the desire to turn back to Egypt, to the life that they knew. To put it simply, Moses was burnt out. In fact, it even reached the point where Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, if you love me, just kill me. Put me out of my misery. I can't bear these people any longer." But the Lord had a different solution in mind, as he always does with us when we feel like we're fed up and we've had enough. He tells Moses to round up 70 elders from among the people, and he will place the power of the Spirit among them. And we have record of that in the book of Numbers. It's one of those Old Testament books that some will tell you will put you to sleep. Starting in verse 24, "So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him," him being Moses, "and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again." This moment is so critical in helping us understand why Pentecost is important. Moses had gone as far as he could alone, even with the power of the Spirit. See, we all receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we give our life over to Christ. But we are not meant to live the Christian life and to carry the burdens of our faith alone. We are meant to do so in community. We are meant to walk alongside each other, to strengthen each other, and to share and proclaim in the gospel together. And in this passage, for the first time, God takes what is singular and selective, the Spirit he gave to Moses, and he puts it upon a group. Now, that doesn't happen without resistance, as so often is the case when the Holy Spirit moves us in a new way. We want to push against that and resist it. Here's the second part of that story. "However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Then Joshua, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, 'Moses, my Lord, stop them.' Moses replied, 'Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on all of them.'" Joshua could not grasp the concept that God had imparted the Spirit in a new way. He viewed the 70, these elders, as a threat to Moses' status and Moses' power as the one guided by the Lord. And this is what makes Moses' reply so important. He says to Joshua, and I love Joshua, but this is not a great moment for him. He says, "Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Are you concerned with my position and my status? It is my wish that the Lord's Spirit be put on all of his people." So what is a prayer and a wish for Moses becomes a powerful new beginning for the church at Pentecost. And so that brings us to this moment in the book of Acts and beyond. I say beyond because you remember what Jesus said to the disciples, what he told us. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. We call this moment Pentecost, but some scholars will argue there's actually four moments of Pentecost that occur in the book of Acts as God enlarges his circle of believers. And it challenges the disciples to see that God's kingdom is for all who place their faith in Jesus Christ. I love that Hammett brought this up and he spoke to it, but the power of the Spirit is so great at this moment of Pentecost that the onlookers think that the disciples are drunk. They think that they have gotten into the good wine. But Peter assures the crowd they are of sound mind, first by telling them that it's only 9 a.m., and the last time I checked a map, there's not a Las Vegas near Jerusalem, so it's likely that they were sober at 9 a.m. But then he also does something that only sober people can do. He quotes the prophet Joel. In Joel chapter 2, to be exact, he talks about in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all the people. And his sons and daughters will prophesy, and young men will see visions, and old men will see dreams, and so on, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So what started as a prayer by Moses, then a prophecy from Joel, becomes a promise fulfilled in the book of Acts. That's how the providential story of God works. There is a season for every activity under the sun. And this begins the season of the church, which continues down to today to us. This moment in Acts chapter 2, seen properly, is a Jewish-centric event. It occurs in Jerusalem among the Jewish believers who are gathered for the Festival of Weeks. But this is not the final moment. God is not done. And friends, one thing we know is that God is never done. This is just simply the beginning. What follows is an expansion of the church, the inclusion of those who were once not fit to be part of the kingdom of God. Let's look at them together. In Acts chapter 8, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. It's important to understand that there's been nothing but conflict between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. They were seen as half-breeds, as less than. They were of mixed heritage, of mixed race. And when Peter and John arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Jerusalem, Samaria. In Acts 10, while God was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And finally, in Acts 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Throughout the book of Acts, the circle grows and grows, and the church grows. And people who were once not fit to be part of the church are brought in to the fold. And what these four moments teach us is that Pentecost is perpetual. God is constantly pouring his Spirit into all of those who believe for the purpose of being empowered to do the hard work of the kingdom, to strengthen us so we may come to help others know Jesus Christ. What this also teaches us, though, is that too often, and the disciples were guilty of this as well, that we can place limits on what we believe the Holy Spirit can do. Not that we can stop the Spirit, but we have convinced ourselves that things must happen in a very specific way. But what I have come to know about the church and about the Holy Spirit and about a way it works in our life is that above all else, it helps us as the church keep our priorities straight, to keep them kingdom focused. There are a multitude of factors that can help us, that causes us to get our priorities out of whack. One of which we are living through right now in our denomination, where people are staking their flags in the ground, one side or the other, pledging fealty through social media posts and t-shirts or signed documents, and our church isn't immune. So far this year, friends, we have had 3 times as many conversations and listening parties about the denomination as we have had baptisms. If you take the food pantry out, we have had more of these conversations than we've had missional events where we come together and serve the community. And I don't say that to make light of what is going on or make it seem like it's not important. I know denominational identity is very dear to some, and I love the teachings of John Wesley, and I am thankful for the Book of Discipline I'm sworn to uphold. But the teachings of John Wesley is not what brought me back to the faith. It was Christ calling me home. It wasn't until much later that I came to understand Wesley's teachings and were able to see how those resonated in my life. Yes, I love the teachings of John Wesley, but I love this church and the people of Christ even more. And I know the Holy Spirit is moving strongly among us today, calling us to bring others to know Jesus Christ, to be the witnesses in the Judeas and the Samarias and the ends of the earth of our time. Our top priority is to bear witness to the gospel. In fact, it is our only job. And to do that, we must be willing to put ourselves away and lean into the guidance of the Spirit. And if we do that, we will be amazed by what God can do and who God can add to our number. I think Peter said it best in Acts chapter 11, where he said, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? I say that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can gather as this church, Asbury United Methodist, and the blessing that you pour into all of us to bring the gospel to this community. God, we ask that you are with us this day and all days going forward, that we receive a new Pentecost every day, the Holy Spirit filling us and keeping us full, guiding us and sustaining us through your love and mercy. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
I invite you to turn to page 15. And I would remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is the Lord's table. It's not our table, and you need not be a member of our local congregation in order to receive the sacrament today. All of God's children are welcome here. Also, if you would prefer a gluten-free wafer for communion, when you come, simply ask your server, and we would be glad to provide that for you. And don't forget about the Community Ministries offering plate, which is in the center aisle, to provide charitable assistance to people in need. Let us begin with our great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you give birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to evil, sin, and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith together, saying, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us wherever we are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
Gracious and loving God, we lift up all of those who are ill or in special need of your grace. We pray especially for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier, for Fred Williams and for Barbara Clark. We pray for Megan Arnold and Patty Shoemaker, Joyce Dennis and Doug Chenault. We pray for Lanny Langley, Jean Hammett, and Barbara Mills. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ.
I invite the servers to come forward, and as they do, if you are joining us online, if you're worshiping with us online this morning, I invite you to go ahead and receive the sacrament at home. God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the people of God said, Amen. We will be honored at in the launch today to celebrate the sacrament of Christian baptism for Emery Byers. And he is actually here this morning, and so we're going to invite Emery to come up. While he was baptized in the later service, I'm going to go ahead and have the congregational, have you be able to respond to him and invite him into the church family. Brothers and sisters, through baptism, we become a part of God's family, the church. We join in God's great acts of salvation and receive new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price.
This morning, we will present Emery Byers for the sacrament of Christian baptism.
In addition to being our lay leader, Clark is also Emery's mentor, and we want to recognize that.
Amen. If you were here for the confirmation service 2 weeks ago, Emery was missing. He was under the weather that morning, and so we are doing his confirmation vows, and we'll also, of course, as Hammond said, baptize him in the launch. But I do have some questions for you as the congregation, as we care for Emery as he walks in life. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reject sin and affirm your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Will you care for one another in the Christian faith and life, and include these persons now in your care? With God's help, we will share the good news and live by Christ's example. We will surround Emery with a community of love and forgiveness so he may grow in his trust of God and become faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him so he may become a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to true life.
Members of God's family, I ask you to love and care for Emery. Do everything in your power to help his faith grow, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Let's respond together. We thank God for all God has already given him, and we welcome him in Christian love. As members in the body of Christ and this church family, we renew our vows to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let's give Emery a sign of our welcome. And if you would like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to transfer from another church or Christian, another Methodist church or another Christian denomination this morning. Otherwise, if you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and been baptized, Brother Nick or I would be more than happy to talk with you about that. Let us stand now for our hymn of commitment. This is The Spirit's Entry Now.
Blessing it has been to be with you today on Pentecost Sunday, this day where we celebrate the birth of the church. I thank you for being with us this morning. Next week, Brother Hammett will be back in the pulpit. It'll be Trinity Sunday, and he will be preaching, and he will be flying solo because we'll be taking a group of the youth and some adults, and I will be on our way to Alabama. for a week-long mission trip. And so we ask that you're in prayer for us. We will publish the names of those that are going so you can pray for us all during the week. Yesterday, a group of us had the blessed opportunity to be at the Disney Extravaganza with the Project Zero organization. The goal of the Project Zero organization is to ensure that every child who is available for adoption in Arkansas gets adopted. It's a beautiful ministry. We met some wonderful kids yesterday and got a bit of sun. But Project Zero has set up their display here today. So if you head out into the hallway and you go grab a cup of coffee, take a moment and look at those beautiful, precious kids. There's a QR code you can scan for more information if you know someone in your life that is looking to adopt. But beyond that, it's a blessing to have you here this morning, and I ask that you receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace. Amen.